Hello, friends, and welcome to our podcast, the Whole Life Project Podcast. I am Luke Ankeny, and this is
Heidi Ankeny,
my lovely wife and co-host. And we are so glad that you stopped by to spend some time with us. Whatever time of day it is that you are listening, it's nighttime for us.
Kind of. Well, yes. It's still light out, so it doesn't feel like it.
It's that time of year where it stays light longer,
which is amazing.
So today, my hat that I'm wearing is,
I thought you did hats at the end.
Jumping right into it today.
Gotcha.
My hat is Ankeny Brothers Kettle Corn, which is no longer a business, but it was a business that we had for about 5 years that we ran as a family, did festivals, side of the road, events, things like that. And Heidi is wearing a hat tonight too.
It's just a runner in the mountains.
It's a runner in the mountains hat. Why are you wearing a hat?
Because I got my hair done today and I didn't fix it.
I'm wearing a hat because I'm bald.
And people didn't even know that until
the
now.
The shine is not good for camera, for video. For your audio people, you don't know the difference. So we're always record these in our home studio, which also doubles as our office. So
it might be more than the office too. I don't know. What is it?
I don't know. Sometimes I do push-ups and sit-ups in here.
The dog sleeps in here.
The dog sleeps here.
The boys do their job searching in here.
Yeah.
It's like an office.
Which is be an office. Anyway, moving on. Tonight is a family theme where we're, remember, family, health and wellness, faith.
Faith.
And this one is
pillars, our foundations.
Those kind of our foundations or pillars that we talk about. And tonight is a family one, and it has overlap with faith. And it's something we get asked about every once in a while. I've been asked this. I know you've been asked this. And so the topic is raising your children to follow Jesus. And the question I've been asked, the way it's been asked to me is, what have you done to ensure that your children, as they get older, remain in their faith and own their own faith? And I often get that question asked by parents of younger children who, you know, look at our kids and see them having that faith and just wondering what we did, what we put in place in our home to ensure that would happen.
Which is funny that we're in that place now, because I have a little story about that. When our boys were younger, I was out to coffee with a lady who her kids were older. They were high school age at the time, and I was coaching them in cross country and track. And she was just kind of mentoring, I don't know, just a friendly coffee visit that we were having. And that's one thing that I asked her is, how have you, because these were really good young men.
And still are.
Yeah, they still are. And I asked her, how have you done that? How have you guys raised such incredible, it wasn't exactly like, how do you make sure that they own their own faith,
right,
that they develop their faith, but it was still kind of the same question.
Yeah.
And now I'm in that position.
Well,
like I was just terrified that our boys weren't going to turn out well.
Because we don't know what we're doing as parents.
So why are we doing this?
Yeah. But I think that also just brings to mind, you know, when I've counseled couples that I'm performing a wedding for, one of the things I've told them is to latch on to an older couple that you can ask questions to, because none of this is new to anybody. You know, when we may have experienced something that was new to us, but there's probably someone else on this planet that has gone through that experience, and probably a lot of them. And so, you know, when we don't ask those questions to get help as parents, we're doing ourselves and our children a disservice.
Right.
And when we ask those questions, we're doing our best job that we can as parents. So a passage of scripture I'd like to read from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 22, verse 6, probably one that many people who are listening know. If you don't know, Proverbs is in the Old Testament. It's a book of wisdom. And one of the wisdom nuggets in this book says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And it's just a good reminder to me in terms of, you can make that for a lot of different things, but in terms of faith, that it's important. If your faith is important to you, and ours is to us, that it's important to train our children up in the way they should go so that they have their own faith and can own their own faith. And when they're older, they will still have that as well.
Yeah.
So kind of four areas of topic we have jotted down here that we'll talk about, and then we may go from that. So the first one is that as parents, as followers of Jesus, we have to own our own faith and make that uniquely unique to us, and that have and maintain that relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the things I used to see a lot of when I was a youth pastor was how these parents would drop their kids off at youth group because that they said it was important for their kids to be there. But then the teenagers that I was working with would talk to me about how they never saw their parents really do anything with their faith. And so they just thought it was super hypocritical. And they just didn't understand. And these were young people that had a tremendous belief in God and a relationship with Jesus and were striving to grow in that, and we're hungry for people, for adults to show them the way.
And so you're not just saying as adults we have to own our own faith, but we have to model it.
Yeah.
Our kids need to see us living right. that out, spending time reading in the Bible, spending time in prayer, those kinds of things.
Yeah. And so in that, owning our own faith, having our own faith, doing our best to honor God with our lives, and then in that, correct witness to our children by living out our relationship with Jesus. And so what are some of the things we can do, Heidi, to maintain and ensure that relationship we have with Jesus? What are some of the things you do on a daily basis?
I think number one, and this is actually something that when our kids were little, I was not good at, is spending time reading my Bible.
Yeah.
And spending time in God's Word. But that's something that I have gotten better at. I don't know why I didn't do it when I was younger, when the boys were little. Maybe I was exhausted and just didn't think I had the time, but I did.
Right.
Anyway, so spending time reading God's Word, I think, is like super important. And that's how you can stay connected, because out of that, you learn, you grow, you connect with God. And then I always tag on prayer to that time. Mm-hmm. I do that every morning. I sit in my red light. My neighbors probably think I'm weird because every morning at 6 o'clock, the red light goes on.
The red light coming out of our house.
I sit in the red light and I do my Bible study and I pray. But I also think it's really important to see prayer as not just a time of day, like this is my prayer time, but it's just an ongoing conversation with God that you can have at any time during the day, all the time.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that we've probably flipped in that, where I was more consistent in my daily Bible reading and study and prayer when our kids were younger. And lately I've been kind of I don't know the correct term for it.
A slacker. I'm just kidding.
It's kind of a desert time.
Yeah.
But like I read my Bible this afternoon and it's always one of those things. It feels like you're quenching, your thirst is being quenched when you read, and it's always beneficial. So yeah, I mean, some of those things we call the spiritual disciplines that in help us in our faith, like Bible reading and prayer, mm-hmm. whatever those are, to have a consistency in that to make our faith grow and be closer to Christ.
Yeah. I also think a community.
Yeah.
Whether it's a small group or a church that you go, go to
or part of
on the regular, like not yeah. just on Easter and Christmas, but like you're involved and you, a place where you belong. I think that helps a lot too. I think that's important.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about living out our faith so that our children can see that. So that idea of modeling our faith, I think it's something that is scriptural. You know, Jesus gathered disciples around him and showed them how to be like him. And as followers of Christ, we are called to disciple others. And I think as parents, we are called to disciple our children because the goal there is that they would grow up knowing Christ, and then they in turn would share Jesus with others. And yes, there's a dog under our table right now. And they in turn would, you know, share Jesus with others, disciple others. And so part of that is modeling that.
Go right ahead. Well, I was just going to say, that verse that you read at the beginning when you read it, I jotted down train children. And it made me think of, because of our coaching.
Sure.
And that visual for me of like, as a coach, we have to train these kids in basketball skills, in track skills. And, you know, there's so much that goes into that and they have to practice that every day. But as coaches, we have to show up every day too and show them what to do and repeat those processes over and over and over again until it's, then they get to a point where it just becomes natural for them and then they own it. Like that skill is just part of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I just thought of that.
And then I think especially in coaching track, we would see by the time some of those athletes were seniors, then they were also modeling that to the younger athletes in like middle school or in younger high school grades. So the idea of being a God bearer is someone who points others to Jesus. So when we think of parenting and wanting to share our faith with our children, we are God bearers who point our children to Jesus. It's not like a generational family faith where it's like, oh, we're Baptist or we're Quaker or we're Methodist or we're Lutheran or we're whatever.
Not calling anybody out. You're just giving
examples. Yeah, I'm just giving examples. Because I didn't just want to say one and get really mad at that one. Because
you grew up Quaker.
Yeah. So. But I gave four examples because I was trying to, non-denominational. There we got everybody. Now I'm off my thought. But it's not about that. It's not about our children owning our faith, our denominational baggage and history and whatever that is. It's about them owning their own faith. And so why would I point them to me?
Right.
Yeah, I can lead by example, but it's because I want them to see Jesus and I want them to say, okay, I see Jesus there. I want to be like Jesus.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So in that, we cannot expect our children to do what we won't do or what we won't be in our faith. Here's my example of this. And maybe this is a silly example, but in churches, they always are pushing young people to get up front and sing. And these are the same adults that won't get up there and sing or do anything.
Like children choirs or Christmas programs.
Right. This cute to make the kids get up there and do that. And I always thought, well, man, if we're asking the kids to do that, then we should have more parental involvement.
Parent programs at Christmas time.
Well, I don't know the parent program, but do something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just think too often times we expect our children to do stuff and then we don't show up and do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Whatever that might look like when it comes to following Christ.
So funny story along that
okay.
lines is unless you have a child who just refuses to do the singing up front.
Because that was part of their preschool thing.
Well, I know, but it was still the same idea, and it was really funny to me.
Because he wouldn't sing.
Our middle would not sing during the program that he was a part of. He would not. He just went up there and he stood on the back riser and he stared at the back wall.
And he told us he wasn't going to sing.
Straight faced, didn't open his mouth once.
And I would.
Can't blame him because we wouldn't want to do that either.
And he didn't want to sing.
Yeah.
So he did stand up there, which is what we told him he had to do.
Kind of relates.
It relates. So just different ways I think we can model to our children. But I think the biggest one is just to do it. Practice our faith alongside them. Invite them to be a part of it with us. And whatever that might look like. And we'll get into some of those, the ways we involve and interact. But I can think of one as just an example of serving alongside our children. Was one time we were just picking up trash. And I remember that day just thinking, like, this is what it's all about. Like, we're doing a service to the community. We're serving the community. And my kids are right here with me learning that it's important to do those type of things. Mm-hmm. And I know when I was in it, well, even now, just as greeters at church, one of our sons helps us with that. The other two, just because they're at college, they aren't as involved in serving at our local congregation. But I think if you know, whatever it is we are encouraging our children to be a part of, especially as younger kids, that it's great for us as adults to do that right alongside them.
Right.
And it's also in modeling, it's we're the parents. God's given us the responsibility of raising our children. God's given us the responsibility of passing our faith on to our children. God's given us the responsibility of encouraging our children to follow Christ. And it's no one else's. We'll talk about the role of the church in a little bit more. But it's my firm belief that it's the job of the church, the church's job, and the church exists to help parents disciple and raise their children to follow Christ. It's not solely the church's responsibility.
It's not the Sunday school teacher's job.
It's not
job.
The Sunday school teacher's job. It's not the youth pastor's job. They're there to help the parents in that role.
Right.
And so, as we think about what it means to be involved and interact with our children and their faith, just jotting down some of the things that have worked for us. And I think one of the big things, so I was in full-time ministry for over 15 years, full or part-time. But I think one of the things we did well was I was always... Whenever I was doing something, one or all the boys were often right there with me, mm-hmm. especially when it was service-oriented stuff or doing things for the community. But it was, they knew that that was one way we lived out our faith in Christ. And it was super easy, just like... I mean, I remember one time my dad and I were installing a laminate floor and our boys were right there in the middle of it helping us, and it took mm-hmm. a lot longer, but we always wanted them to be a part of what we were doing, and right. that didn't exclude our faith.
Right. And I think it's important too that if it's a home like ours with both parents present,
yeah,
both parents need to be modeling that.
Right.
Like, I mean, yes, one can, if the other is not on
yeah.
the same page, but makes it so much harder.
Because we've observed the families where most of the time, most of the time it's mom who will show up mm-hmm. to a church Sunday morning with the kids. Mm-hmm. And dad's nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And you often see those kids, once they get older, walking away from it because it's not being mm-hmm. encouraged by both.
And what was that? This would be like a totally different topic, maybe about marriage, but that statistic that we heard in church the other day about couples who pray together, go to church together, or read the Bible together are like 98%, 95% of them don't end in divorce or something yeah. like that. I'm probably not saying it right.
But yeah, it was
that modeling.
Pretty amazing significant difference in how that influence changed that rate. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things we did with our children when they were younger, still do, is pray together. And those prayers were usually pretty simple. What happened before meals and before bedtime. And then sometimes just at other times when we would just feel led to pray together as a family. But that, and sometimes Heidi and I would be the ones saying the words. And then we also involved our boys in that by asking them to pray and not coaching them on how to pray, but just saying, whatever hey, it's your turn to pray. Heart. And whatever is on their mind and heart that they wanted to pray, that's what they prayed. Mm-hmm. And there's no right or wrong way to pray. It's just talking to God, and it's between that person and God. And so,
and we still, even though they're adult, young adults now, we still pray for them or with them.
Yeah. But
with them is really like when they're home and they're getting back on the road, you know, we can
we'll pray with them.
Pray for them before they leave, because they both, the two that go away, have to drive pretty far.
Or we still pray at every meal.
Yep, we still pray at meals when they're here, what we do when they're not. Our sprinter sometimes will ask us to pray with him before races. Mm-hmm. So even as adults, it's still something that we do.
Yeah, one of the ways I feel like we are able to connect significantly with Christ is through song. I think that's why it's such a prevalent part of worship, is because people just connect with song through singing. And so that's something that was always part of their bedtime routine, was singing with them and to them. And often those the majority of the time, those were songs of faith.
Mm-hmm.
That we would sing to them. And that's just a way to share those truths of scripture through simple songs they can learn more about God through those songs.
Yeah. And it was just part of their bedtime routine.
It was just part of their bedtime routine. Mm-hmm. And neither Heidi or I are great singers.
I wouldn't even say good on my part anyway.
Well, I was going to say I was adequate. But that was just a fun way that they could pick up on that as well. And none of our boys are singers either, but they love music.
Yeah.
And they know, I know that's a way that they still connect with Christ.
Yeah, for sure.
We already talked about, no, we didn't. We talked about doing this for our own spiritual formation. It was reading the Bible, but also that's something to do with children. And they make really fun little Bible books for little kids, but that's something older. As they got older, we would read with them. And then now through our church and reading plans that they have, we encourage them to take part in those as well. Yeah. And it's not, I mean, we're not like forcing them to do it, but we're saying like, hey, this is something that would help
your faith.
It's
an opportunity.
Yeah.
And they will decide on their own to take that up or not. But
and something else we do and have done quite a bit of, and I feel like this is a way that you connect. Well, it's different. I think we both do this with the boys individually, and then we do it all together. It was just in the conversations and the discussions we have with them. Like, we're not afraid to have those tough conversations or even those just explaining conversations about
very honest conversations. Yeah.
And sometimes it's as simple as, you know, what did you get out of the sermon today at lunch on a Sunday? Or, you know, we see something in the news, we interact with something, and it's just an opportunity to share our understanding and our belief on that. Not what Luke and Heidi think, but what Luke and Heidi think based on what scripture says.
Right.
Using that and as I our think foundation.
Because we've done that since they were little, we've always talked to our kids as if they were adults. I not inappropriately, but like we didn't do baby talk.
Right.
We talked to them like they were people. And we've always, even from the time they were little, been able to have really good conversations with our boys. I think that's part of why. But I think because we've done that since they were little, it has kept doors open for them to ask questions. Like, they are not afraid and never have been afraid to bring up a topic.
right.
or ask a question or share something that's bothering them or that they're confused by, because they know that we can have those honest, loving, real discussions. And it's hopefully biblically based, like
right.
hopefully pointing them to God's view.
Yeah. And I think we see that in their longing and their desire to be Christ-like and to do mm-hmm. what's right and to live out their faith. And it's hard for young people.
Yeah.
I mean, the world's, for all of us, the world's thrown a ton at us, but I think it seems that we've given them the tools that will help them as they continue to mature and grow in that.
Yeah. And it's not easy for them. Like you mentioned maybe our conversations are different when it's you versus me. I tend to be a little more talkative.
And nurturing.
Yeah. And you're not. No. We have one boy who is extremely talkative and a verbal processor. Big time.
Yeah.
And so like there are conversations sometimes that happen where you can tell that he's wrestling with mm-hmm. something. He's really trying to figure out what's God telling him in this or what's the truth in this situation, whether it be with friends or, you know, whatever. So it's not easy. It's hard being a young adult and trying to figure out who you are and who God wants you to be. And
yeah.
So it's kind of a new phase, I think, that we're in now, still trying to do all of this, but with grownups.
And I think I'm reminded of, and now when, like, I think if there's one thing I could say to really encourage parents, especially parents of younger children that are listening, is put it in place now. Do it mm-hmm. now. I guess two things. There's a passage of scripture where, and I don't have it, I didn't pull it up ahead of time, I just thought of it, where Jesus brings his disciples together and then he gives them instruction and then he sends them out to do what he's taught them. All right, this is Jesus is still alive. This is while he's teaching them in this process, this 3-year time period or, whatever that timeline is, that he's teaching them to be like him and to eventually, you know, this is what they would do when they started the church. But he sent them out in groups of two to preach the good news, to heal people, whatever. And then they came back to Jesus and they discussed with him what they had experienced and done. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important that while our children are with us, we not only give them instruction, but we also give them that opportunity to live out their faith,
yeah.
to make mistakes, to try things so that we can still be in dialogue with them. And I hope those dialogues are not stopping. I mean, I remember as an adult with being married with 3 kids, having those conversations with my own father.
Yeah.
And just being able to call him and say, hey, how did you do this? You know, what's this about? I was, you know, trying this. But another example of that is from one of my favorite movies, A River Runs Through It, where as young boys, the dad's teaching him fly fishing. And he said his instruction, that method that he liked, was to teach them, but then to let them loose and let them be free to go fish by themselves. Because that's how you learn. And they would, you know, they had the instruction, but then it was like, you want to learn how to fly fish, you got to go down to the river by yourself and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I've often done that, you know, with coaching in basketball or whatever the case may be, is like, there's a time for instruction, but then there's also a time to play. There's a time to learn and be on your own and try to figure it out.
Practice.
And I think in our society, adults are way too involved mm-hmm. in over involved sometimes in that and trying to be too protective in those times of learning.
Yeah.
Oh, So something else we mentioned that's important and plays an important role, and as Heidi mentioned, is important for us to be involved in, is the church, the local church.
Can we back up a little bit?
Yes.
Because I feel like you skipped something that we always have talked about that's been instrumental and key.
Go for it.
Is mealtimes.
Mealtimes.
We didn't talk about that.
And no, we
did not. And I think that's like a super, that's kind of been the, almost the foundation of where all of the conversations in our family have happened, is mealtimes around the table. And when our kids were very young, I mean, from the beginning, from the day our first son was born, we have sat at the table at least for dinner. But usually, even like when they were going through elementary school, we ate breakfast together. Of course, they had lunch at school, but as many meals a day as we could do together, we would do. And it got harder as they got older, especially in high school with sports, because we'd get home from basketball at like 10:30 at night or something, but we still did it. We still, even if the rest of us maybe had eaten before,
we'd still connect.
And the basketball player was sitting down to eat at 10:30 at night, we still all sat there and would visit and would, like, that's where so many conversations have happened. And I think that has helped. I'm not saying that this is the end all be all cure for how to keep your kid communicating with you, but I think that was a really big piece of it, because I hear so many parents talking about the teenage years where they just disappear into their bedroom and they grumble at you and they don't talk and you don't know.
That never happened.
And that didn't happen with us. And we have three boys. I don't think it matters, boy or girl. Like, I've heard people with both saying that this happens, and it's just a natural part of having teens. And like I said, I don't think that that's the only thing that contributed to our kids communicating with us all through their teen years. But I think that was a really big piece of it, because we laid that foundation from the beginning that we do meals together and we have conversations around the table. And I just think that has been so important in our family.
And I think there are and there have been things that are optional.
Yeah.
But dinner time, and there were times when it was all three meals a day where we were together.
Mm-hmm.
But dinner time, usually if someone was going to be gone, it was me, because I had a meeting or something.
Or like a school function. Maybe the kids were going out to dinner before a
something
game or whatever. But
that was the one that we didn't miss.
Right.
And I think, I mean, my philosophy was, without being a jerk about it, it was like, our house, our rules. We're the ones providing the food. The very least, you can sit and eat with us and have a conversation.
But I don't think you ever even said that.
But we never had to say that.
Because it was something that we just always did.
But that was my internal thought.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Like, if I ever have to reason this to anybody.
But we didn't.
But we never had to. It was just.
That's what they grew up with.
They think it's normal.
And it's still like that when they come home.
They think it's abnormal when families don't eat dinner together.
Yeah.
And I think when. Right. It goes back to just that idea of what's foundational. And I think when you have things that are foundational, that are consistent, you don't have to worry about other things. Like, I've jokingly said that if I was ever going to start a nonprofit, I would start a nonprofit that encourages, it's called dinner time or meal time, and just encourages families to eat dinner together. And like, you actually have to teach people how to do this.
Right. Because people are so busy.
They're so busy, and it's, no one's ever told them that it should be like one of the biggest priorities of every day is sitting down and eating together and saying no to, you know, the extra practice or the extra whatever.
Or
running through a restaurant grabbing fast
food. If it's unavoidable. I mean, we had times where it was unavoidable, but we still would connect at the end of the long day.
But I also think we said no to a lot of things and didn't do a lot of things.
We did, when they were younger, especially.
Because it was that important to us.
Yeah. And I think that's very biblical. I mean, how always Jesus was dining with people and communicating and connecting with them during that time.
And I think especially in American culture, that's just something that's been lost with busyness. And I think it's just one of Satan's way of distracting us from each other and from our Savior.
Yeah. And our boys never, because we laid that foundation from the beginning, that we, that's just what we do. This is what we do. We eat together.
And while we eat, we're going to talk.
Right.
And sometimes that was about faith, but sometimes it was just, what was the best part of your day and silliness.
Yeah. But they never felt like they couldn't talk about things either. Like they always could bring things up. But I think because we did that for so long, like talking about those teen years that so many parents struggle with, when we got to that point, it was never even a thought, I don't think, to them to take their dinner plate and go to their room. Like so many kids eat in their room, and I feel like families are really missing out so much because there's so much separation when that happens.
And I think, too, you and I both did that growing up in our separate families.
Right.
I mean, and I'm guessing that next generation, exact same thing happened in the generation, you know, but it's just something that in a lot of families that's been lost. Mm-hmm. So again, encouragement to eat together.
Yeah. It's never too late to start.
It's never too late to start. And it's a way, I mean, this is probably a whole nother episode, but like getting your children involved and helping you make dinner in different ways and things like that. So, oh, good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, you skipped that
one. Told me to hold on.
It was really important to me. Yeah,
it is important to me too and to us. So, yeah, just involve and interact and be working alongside and active alongside our children when it comes to our faith. And so one of the things that we've hinted to and talked about and we think is important is being a part of your local congregation, whatever denomination, evangelical, Christian denomination that looks like. That's you know, biblically based, focused on Jesus. And we think that's important, and we think it's scriptural to meet together in a community like that, in a faith community. So a couple of things for us is that Sunday morning worship was something that was non-negotiable. Another non-negotiable was that we as a family from early on, you know, we went to church to worship together. And that's always been something that's been important. There was a stretch when I had come out of ministry and we took a break, but it wasn't very long. And we talked about why we were doing that. And then we found a new church.
It was a rest.
It was
almost
a rest
like a
time.
Sabbatical. Yeah. It was a rest.
And then we went back and started attending the church we were at now.
Yep.
But Sunday morning worship was non-negotiable. Now,
go ahead.
Well, go right ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you, like, kind of play devil's advocate, because we've been asked this before. We were having a conversation with your college roommate, and he asked us this question about how do you make sure your kids are, you know, growing up in the faith and making it their own. And you said that Sunday mornings are non-negotiable. And he said, well, how did he, I don't remember how he asked it, but so I'm going to ask you, how do you tell your kids that it's non-negotiable and get them to own that? Is that not projecting your faith onto them by saying you have to go to church?
Well, but I don't even know if we ever actually said.
No, we didn't.
It was just, this is what we do together as a family.
Same as meals.
Yeah.
It was just what we did.
I will differentiate between Sunday morning worship and other activities at the church, because as a pastor, I was very aware, and having grown up in the church, was very aware of what could possibly happen to pastors' kids. Mm-hmm. And what I saw a lot of was pastors forcing their children to participate, and then those kids rebelling and walking away from their faith. And so when I say, you know, Sunday morning worship was non-negotiable, the large congregation gathering for singing and preaching, but Sunday school youth group, those other things. And again, some people will like that I say this. Some people will not like that I say this. Those other things, I was didn't really care if my boys went to those things.
It wasn't non-negotiable.
Those things were negotiable.
I'm saying it was not.
Yeah, those things were negotiable. Yes. And so, and I took some heat for that, but that came out of my belief that the church exists to complement what the parents are doing at home.
I spilled on myself.
In teaching their children to follow Jesus. And so it also came out of a place of observing what I observed in other pastors' kids and the rebellion and walking away from their faith. And I didn't want that. And so my play was, well, worship is what we're going to make the priority. And then those other things we can have those conversations about. But I think the biggest thing is consistency. Mm-hmm. If you go every week and you enjoy going and you talk about how much you enjoy going and it's not a bore, your children are going to go. Mm-hmm. And again, reasoning in my head, like you live in my house and I don't ask a lot. I really don't. I don't think, I mean, eat dinner with me and let's go to church together. And yeah, there's other things, clean up your room, be a part of the family, all those things. But I think the biggest thing in all of them has just simply been consistency. From the time they were born, they knew we ate dinner together and they knew we went to church together. Mm-hmm. And it was never something we didn't do. And then fortunately, our boys really enjoy, as they got older, they really enjoyed going to worship and being a part of that experience and being involved in that. And so now, I mean, even the ones at college are finding ways to either connect online through our church or having opportunity to be a part of other congregations where they're at.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question about how and playing devil's advocate?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I think it would be a really cool topic to hear what our boys have to say on it.
Yeah, we should invite them in on this sometime.
Have them come in sometime and just share about their perspective.
Yeah, because we can talk about from where we're at, what we think happened and transpired, right. But they may have totally different.
Right, like what did they see modeled? Because that's actually not something that we've really ever discussed with them.
Yeah,
maybe little bits, but what did they see modeled? Why do they think their faith is in the place that it is? Based on how we parented, would be interesting.
And I think too, like I remember back when I was in growing up and it was just it was always just a general reminder, like, hey, we're leaving at 9. We're leaving at 9 in the morning.
Be in the car.
And I think with our boys, because at our current church, there's different times and sometimes we're serving. And so it's like, but they'll often ask, what service are we going to tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Even now, as adults home from college, they still
go, and the one go to church with us. Samuel, the one that's here with us, he asks us every Saturday, right. What time do I need to be up by? And in that, I think something that's important is to participate in the life of the church, to not just go and be entertained and take, but to go and contribute, to be a participant in that. Mm-hmm. And then to not just isolate our young people when they're there. I firmly believe that young people need to be involved with adults to see that faith being lived out. And that's one place they can pick that up. When they're always isolated in a separate youth program or a separate kids program, I think they miss out on that.
Yeah. Those things are definitely important. I mean, I know that youth group in my life was really important, but I also in my church was very involved and interacted very regularly with the adults. We weren't always secluded.
It was a smaller church, and so they have more opportunity for that.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else on that topic?
Nothing that I can think of.
Nothing off that I can think of either. I think it's probably something we'll revisit.
I'm sure, in roundabout ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the important thing is, I mean, there's lots of important things, but just the being committed to the consistency of it, and then, you know, living out your faith as mom or dad and modeling that the best you can, and then inviting your children to be a part of that. Yeah. And with the goal in mind is that at some point in time, they can make a decision to follow Jesus if they want to do that. And the prayer is that they will want to do that.
Which actually, you didn't talk about that. Like, our boys each all had their moment.
Yeah.
And it was something that they actually did at home.
Yeah. And they asked us to help them with that.
Guide them through that.
Based on, which was pretty cool. Out of conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed that conversation.
That sounded, the way you said that, sounded like the Saturday Night Live skit.
Don't go
the radio hosts the when radio. You said, well, that was
sweaty,
fun.
Those people?
Yes, it's sweater weather.
Sorry. Email address, thewholelifeprojectpodcast@gmail.com, on the social sites, at WLP podcast. X, Instagram, YouTube. And if you're on any of those things, especially YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, follow us. Or if you're listening on one of the podcast sites, we should be on just about all of them now. Go ahead and follow us on there too. Hit that follow button.
Subscribe.
Yeah.
That's what it is on YouTube.
I don't know. But we would appreciate that. As always.
And share.
Yeah,
invite other people into our little circle that we're trying to grow here.
Two people tell four people, and then four people can tell eight, and then
yeah.
And I think after the next one, we're actually going to share it ourselves.
we haven't done that yet. That's known to anyone except for our kids.
Yeah. So thanks for listening.
Nobody knows we're doing a podcast.
I kind of like ending with this last week.
Okay. Ending with what?
Seek God, serve your family, and strengthen your body.
What are we talking about next week?
Next week, we're talking about faith.
Today was kind of about faith.
Yeah, but we'll hit it a lot.
Yeah, it all intermingles.
We'll just kind of cycle through those three things. All right.
Okay.
Have a great week. Thanks for watching and listening.